I wanted to look at some Bible characters, people that you learned when you had the flannel graph. One of them is Joseph. You know, the first thing that probably comes to your mind is Joseph and his coat of many colors. But, you know, I would like you today to put yourself in the position of these characters that we go through. Joseph, you probably, I'm hoping you know the story. We're ready. Here's a timeline. I don't really care when he was born so much, but the point was that I want you to remember he was sold as a slave. Okay? He had a bad family life. I mean, his parents loved him dearly, but his brothers, he had 11 brothers. Can you imagine? That's amazing in itself. But he was not on good relations with them. He was sold as a slave. And then we see that it makes a big jump from being sold as a slave to interpreting the dreams. He got thrown in jail unjustly. He was accused. Nobody likes to be accused of something they didn't do, do you? I mean, how could God put him in such a position? But he was jailed and he was forgotten, but then he was restored. In Genesis 45, I don't think I put that. Let's see the next slide. I want you to see. Yes. Thankfully, I did. Here's what I want you to see out of Joseph's life. Even though he was thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, gone into a foreign country, torn from his family. We're talking about family. He was torn from his families, but yet through it all, now this is Joseph speaking. Do not therefore be grieved. He's talking to his brothers who now are confronted. He's not dead. Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here to preserve life. God sent me before you. So it was not you that sent me here, but God. Doesn't that strike you? I mean, a little odd that God would allow him to be sold, that he would go through all these hardships that and the guilt that his brothers would have felt. But his perspective on this was, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And look at all the good that has come out of this. And that's what is going to be the theme this morning. Difficult times, yeah, they're painful. Nobody likes it, but good does come out. Let's see the next slide. Moses. Yes, this one goes along with Moses. You may remember the 10 plagues. You know, when you were little, they taught you about those 10 plagues. How he was put in that. Can you imagine the desperation of his mother to actually make this waterproof little basket and put your newborn in there? That is desperate times, folks, isn't it? And yet, God worked and worked through it all. Looked like he was going to have a life of ease in the palace there. But he killed an Egyptian that was oppressing his people. He flees to the desert. He's in the desert 40 years. But then God says, it's time, Moses. It's time to move on. but he'd had a real roller coaster of times in his life. But all of the people, Pharaoh finally agreed to let them go. And the people were complaining about the food and they were trapped by the sea. And Pharaoh changes his mind and the army's coming behind. And here you are standing in front of a body of water that's impassable. The army is coming behind you. Times are tough. But God says to Moses, don't be afraid. Just stand and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Boy, we ought to memorize that one or write it on the palm of our hand. You know, watch the Lord rescue you today. The Lord himself. He's not going to send an angel in this. You know, sometimes he uses angels, but they're messengers. But the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's not the easiest thing to do during difficult times, is it? Just stay calm. Next slide, please. We're moving now into the life of David. We think of King David. Now, I don't expect you to see all of that, but that was just a recap. Because, again, David, we think of David slaying Goliath. You know, that's the one that we teach our children so much. But he had a rough life, too. Yes, I mean, that was spectacular, but that was one day. There were times then that eventually many years where Saul was seeking to kill him. And here is, you know, he flees from the palace because Saul's after him. He got to the point where he was so desperate, to get away from Saul, he pretended insanity. And went over to the enemy. How low can the poor guy go? In order to survive, he's acting like a lunatic among his enemies. So he's so desperate to preserve his life, he's fleeing from Saul, who's chasing him. And these are just different highlights how tough it was being pursued day after day, year after year. His family, again, I'm going to hit on family a little bit for a moment. Do you remember his son Absalom? Not a good relationship, Dad. Boy, oh boy, you better have... he had to flee from Absalom. There was a point in David's life where now he's king and things are going well. Maybe too well. You know the story of Bathsheba? So there's the roller coaster again. But through it all, do you remember what God says about David? If I'm correct, I didn't look up this specific scripture, but he was a man after God's own heart. And I think we can agree to that because of his willingness to repent. He would admit that he was a sinner and go to God. Moving into the New Testament now. Yes. This sort of reminds me of the flannel graph board a little bit. We think of Peter sinking, drowning. But you know, that was a low point, so to speak. But the thing, I can't totally condemn Peter. He got out of the boat. You know, that was a step of faith, literally a step of faith. So I don't begrudge Peter looking around him at the wind. I mean, can you imagine? You're walking on water. That boggles the mind. But he was focused on Jesus, and he was able to do something like that. So we think of Peter. And there was a time in his life when Jesus said, "Get me behind thee, Satan." How would you like for Jesus to say, "Get behind me, Satan"? Wouldn't that shake you up a little bit? That was one of the low points in Peter's life. Another low point, the one in the lower corner there, if you remember, he denied Christ three times, not once, but three times. Another low point in his life. And when he thought Jesus was dead, he goes back to his old way of life, of fishing. So I'm hoping that you begin to see these Bible, they're not just made up stories. They are real people who experienced anguish and troubles just like you and me. And then I have a little pop quiz for you. We're going to move from Peter to Paul. How many books in the New Testament? A, 39, B, 34, C, 27, or D, 13? How many books in just the New Testament? Yes, you're correct. There are 27. I threw 39 in there to throw you off because that's the entire Bible. And an easy way to remember. No, that's. Yeah, that's right. 66. Okay, where I'm getting confused, 3 times 9 is 27. So there's, what's 27 and 39 added together? 66. So there's where I was thrown off a little bit. If you remember the 39 Old Testament, then you know the 27 New, 3 times 9. Little off point there. But the reason 13 is there is the Apostle Paul himself wrote 13 of those 27 books. So you would think he was a great man of faith, and he was, but he began by persecuting Christians. And you would think that a guy who wrote 13 books of the New Testament was very close to God, and he was close to God. But let's look at his life for a moment. Somehow, I think we get this idea that when we walk with the Lord, everything's going to be okay. Well, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 of our New Testament books, he was imprisoned, and this by his 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he was imprisoned and flogged, exposed to death. 5 times he received 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was pelted with stones and left for dead. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Once he was lost in the open sea, constantly in danger from the rivers and bandits, from Jews and Gentiles alike, in the city. He's saying, in the city, in the country, in the sea, wherever I turned, you know, I went without sleep, or food and clothes. But yet this man of God said, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And you remember the thorn in the side Paul talked about? He prayed earnestly to God to remove that from him. And God said, my strength is made perfect, or my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, I slipped back to the Old Testament. Perfect flannel board person there. King Nebuchadnezzar. The Jews were exiled. They were conquered. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember that story? They were in exile in a foreign country. That was not their real names. But they found themselves where they were required by law to conform. You see, everybody else is bowed down before this idol. There are 3 men who stood. Remember, do not be conformed to the world. There was a cost, and that cost, those 3 were thrown into the fiery furnace. But there again, getting to the, we seem to gloss over so much. We read the Bible and see these stories almost like they're a TV show. It's over in a half an hour. Well, they were arrested. They were, it was a tumultuous time. Their life was in turmoil. And they thought that this was it. Wouldn't you? The guys that were going to throw them into the furnace were destroyed. It was that hot. Here on the right-hand side is the names that we know them as. Daniel's first. He was also in exile. Well, I'll get to him in a minute. But Shadrach was not, that was not his real name. His real name was Hananiah. The Lord is gracious. Meshach, Mishael, who is like God, and Abednego, was Azariah, the Lord helps. Totally different than the foreign names that they were given when they were forced out of their own country. They were named after idols or false gods. But they stood true. And then we all know Daniel and the lion's den. I cannot imagine spending a whole night among a group of hungry lions. Do you think he got any sleep that night? Every time a lion moved, he was probably on edge. Amazing, but yet through it all, God was there. So, I don't know what's ahead for you folks, but, or for myself, for that matter, but I do know, and I was sharing these with you this morning so that you understand. I'm sure you know people who face difficulties in their life and they turn their back. Well, if that's the way God is, where do they go? So when there are difficult times in your life, don't think it's something strange. Don't be surprised. But God is not done yet. If you can remember back to your school days, and the teacher said, "We're going to have a pop quiz today." Now, some of you, probably, that was just another day at school, but the rest of us were cringing. We were scared. But really, if we step back away from that specific incident, what was the teacher trying to do? Were they trying to make us miserable? No, they were trying to discern what was lacking so that they could communicate the message to you, so that you could learn. So they were trying to see, is there any specific area of need? So there were some prayer requests, and some of you, friends and family, are facing difficult times. But God's not done yet. You're just in a time, in a season. And we don't want you to conform. We want you to be transformed. Remember the butterfly, metamorphosis. He is working in you. He wants to transform you. Remember, we walk not by sight, but by faith. Remember that the things that are seen are temporary. The unseen things are eternal. The problems that you're having now, sleeping with the lions, is temporary. It's not long term. It's light and momentary in comparison to the glories to come. So hang on. Just keep looking to Jesus. And as we see the crosses all around us here, and as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, I hope you never move them. Because that's central to our message, that even though it looked like the end, it was just a new phase. It was the beginning. God is, if you're going to be surprised, don't be surprised by the trial. Be surprised by the outcome, how God delivered them. They thought the ones thrown into the fire. Who would have imagined that they were going to survive that without even smelling like smoke? So that's the surprise, not that it happened, but that they were delivered so miraculously. And, you know, God's not done yet. So Jesus told us clearly, and I'm sorry, I don't have the passage. I don't think I do. That's the next slide. I'm getting there. So hang on. But Jesus clearly told us, in this world, you will have tribulation. He didn't pull any punches. He said, there is going to be problem. But do not fear. I have overcome the world. And then the Apostle Paul tells us later in Romans that, you know, we are overcomers. So we're not going to get any better treatment than Jesus did. He was beaten. He was crucified. And he was completely perfect. And I know I'm far from that. But we should not be surprised when these things happened. Instead, we shouldn't think it's something unusual. Instead, we should keep our eyes focused on him. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So it's all a matter of where your focus is. And we want you to not be surprised when bad times come, but keep on moving. It's an endurance race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So just keep on focusing on him. So when life gets difficult, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Renew your mind. So let only the surprises that you have be ones that what God is going to do. Because there's never a situation that he is unable to redeem for his glory. I still have an hour to go by that clock. We're going to conclude as I was sharing these things with you. I don't know if I have a recap of the past 2 weeks. What do we have next? Well, I thought of the song, In His Time, God Makes Everything Beautiful in His Time. And I was hoping that we could close with that. But I do have the words up to that song. I don't remember them all, but he makes all things beautiful in his time. So, Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way that you do just what you say in your time. And in your time, you make all things beautiful. So, Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a beautiful, a lovely thing in your time. So let's not waste our time complaining, but instead I encourage you to continue those praises, even in the difficult times. You know, it's a race. You're not done. It's endurance. It's not a sprint. It's not temporary. I mean, the trial is temporary, but the victory is assured. So we're going to conclude with another great song, Open Our Eyes. We want to see what is God doing here in our lives. You know, I'll leave you with this final verse, Ephesians 2:10. You are God's workmanship, created for good works, which God has prepared for you beforehand, that you should walk in them. So that's what I'm going to leave you with, folks. He's got a plan for you. He's not done yet. So run with endurance, by faith, not sight, and don't grow weary.